Please have a seat. This week has been a bit of an interesting week. I think if you followed the news at all, it's been a very tragic week. So I get to Thursday, and it's been a fairly busy week, as the fall usually is for pastors. You got all this stuff you're trying to organize and put together and make happen, and I get to Thursday, and I actually tell Candace, I think I'm going to have to do some extra time here on Friday and Saturday. I like to take those 2 days off, but I kind of put my head down, and I started working really hard, and before I knew it, I had all my stuff together for a meeting that evening. And I started working on finishing my message. I got that all done, and I thought, I'm going to keep on going. I got my PowerPoint, which normally it doesn't get in there until in the morning on Sunday. But I had my PowerPoint in there for Jason when he came in on Friday to put it in. And I was really nailing it. I had my devotional, my discussion questions and spiritual practices all done, sitting on my desk. Oh, I'm doing a Wednesday study here at the church, and I put that together too. I'm just nailing it. And I leave on Friday, Thursday going, yes, I can relax and just enjoy and say thank you, Lord. So I did. I was relaxing. I was enjoying. We had some friends from our neighbors that lived next door to us in the Okanagan. We were visiting with them. It was fantastic. And then the Lord began to speak. It said, Scott, you know that message you have? Yeah. Well, you're going to hold off on that. Okay. So I think this is just me. So I just kind of let it rest on Friday and said, well, if it's God, he'll say something again. So Saturday, I'm going around. I'm trimming yesterday. I'm trimming our hedges. Ted, I was trimming our hedges between Ted and I because I want to be able to see Ted. And you know how Wilson? Yeah, Ted's kind of a Milt Wilson over there. You see about this much of him on the hedge. And so I'm trimming the hedge. And so I'm doing that. And as I am, I'm just feeling God saying, you know, that message that you put together for Sunday, I got something else. Okay, that's twice. But again, I don't want to just be Scott, so I'm listening, and I'm thinking about it, I'm dwelling on it. I said, okay, Lord, if it's not that, then where would you want me to go? And I felt like God was saying, you need to go back to up, in, and out, and you need to revisit that again. And I, okay, I think I can do that. So this morning I got up, and again, I checked for the third time, you know, kind of three times just to make sure, and again, I felt the Lord saying, hey, Scott, this is what I want you to say. So I'm setting that aside, what I had prepared. That's for next week. And I want to give you this today, which I hope will help lead us into communion, because I really think communion is about up, in, and out. Is it not? It causes us to look up. It causes us to look inward, which then outwardly we get to express it as we take communion. Inward brings us back upward. Crazy. But part of my heart, I think, today, if anybody's on social media and you saw that there was the death of Charlie Kirk, and there can be all kinds of different opinions in this room about Charlie Kirk, whether you think he was good or bad or not, or he's too opinionated, or whatever you think of him, and if you don't know who he is, you can easily look him up and find out. But the sad part is that at 31 years old, his life was taken. His life was taken, leaving two children behind. And as I watched some of the dialogue online that was happening, I thought, wow, there is a polarization that is happening here. I mean, there's one guy literally on the internet who is trolling the internet to find people who are saying negative things, kind of praising that this guy's life is taken, and then he is finding where those people work, and he's sending that to their employees, trying to get them fired. So we're just seeing all kinds of just crazy things happen. And I thought, you know, in many ways, we can look out here like this. How do we make sense of this if we don't take this there? Otherwise, it gets stuck in here, and we ruminate it. And if this isn't clear from here down, then this is going to go crazy this way. as I sat and I thought about that, I began to go, okay, I'm sure that Charlie Kirk was not the only person that died that day by the hands of another person. So I do what you would do. You either Google it or chat GPT it. And so I chatted with ChatGTP, and I said, hey, you know, give me some numbers here. So these are 2023 numbers. In 2023, as you took at the deaths in North America, that would be Canada and the United States. I did not put Mexico in there, but Canada, United States, on average, in 2023, there were 68 deaths by the hands of somebody else. 68. So Charlie was one. If we just go average statistic, Charlie was one of 68. 68 too many, in my opinion. And so a great tragedy. I think that same day there was a school shooting that also took place, and two children lost their lives. How do we make sense of this out here? How do we make sense of this? And if I keep it here and I try to keep sense of it inside, something wants and demands this justice or the right thing to happen. And I look at me and I think of me, just me personally, do I really know what is right? I have a sense of right and I try to do what is right, but I honestly know that the only way I can do right is what comes from up here and comes down from above. And so this week I was taking this part here and I was lifting it up because at the same time, I get a text at 5:18 in the morning, my son telling me, you're going to be a grandfather. I'm a granddad now. Yeah. I've got the picture right here to prove it. Right there. It's on my lock screen. She is a cutie. You can look at her later. If anybody wants to see a picture of her, Raina has it on her lock screen too, so I'm not the only one. Yeah, so how do you take this and this and you put it together? I take it by being able to go this way with it. I say, God, I need to make sense as you would help me make sense of it. And I know in God's plan and his way that when he created this world, he created us to be together for eternity. That's what he created us to be. He never created separation. He never created division. Division is what took place when Satan came and he tempted Adam and Eve. Remember, I said that as there is in heaven this heavenly rhythm of up, in, and out, there is a rhythm of Satan. There's a rhythm of devil. There's a rhythm of the rhythm of hell, which is out. Keep your eyes focused on the outward, because what happens is it rots the inward and it collapses the upward. And if you and I spend all that time, and I kept thinking about that this week, I kept thinking as I looked at all of this, how easy it is to get so focused on this that it rots this and it collapses that. And so I just kept coming and I kept getting it back to the Lord in the highs of the lows of being, God, thank you for my little granddaughter, Callie, and how beautiful she is, and I can celebrate that to the loss of life. And so as I look to practice that, there is something to it. And then I thought about the communion table, and I thought about how this communion table takes us so much in the upward. What's happened in your life this week? Anybody have some great high-five moments, you know, like praise the Lord? Anybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Anybody have those low moments this week? Yeah? Yeah. And God is in the midst of that. I got to thinking about this as I thought about the communion table and how heaven comes down to earth. All right? Up, down to earth to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us, to be with us. That's what we celebrate here. God with us. So why? So you and I can do this. Not alone, but with him. And I got to be thinking about this part. Look, and if you got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5 and the Lord's Prayer. And just the very first part of the Lord's Prayer. And many of you maybe have memorized this, so you know it by heart. But here in the Lord's Prayer, I looked at it and I thought, wow, right here in the first three stanza is the up, the in, and the out. When we pray this prayer, we're praying the up, we're praying the in, and we're praying the out. Our Father, that's up, who is in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven. Up. Hallowed be thy name. Hallow is the worship of God. We're hallowing, we're worshiping. Holy is your name. We can only worship from the inside out. Holy is your name. And we come to that place where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. That's out. God, we want your will of heaven, your kingdom to come down here and to be displayed here on earth. When we live out the gospel of Jesus Christ, we live out the holiness of God, when we live out a non-anxious presence in this world, we are taking the up inward because we live in that and we're taking it outward. That was my whole thing of in our community we'll get to next week. But what does it look like to be in our community? How do we live in our community? And we live it by our Father who is in heaven. Holy be your name. Your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. I think that's just wild. Then I thought about this song that I used to sing when I was a kid on up into my adult years. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hey? So I'm going to just throw up these words here real quick. Got it, Jason? What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, can you go back to the first one? No, the very first slide. There we go. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. It's part of upward. And then we go to the next one. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything in prayer. That's like when we sit and we just look at the out, and we just look at that, and we get so enthralled on what is out here that we're not taking it up, that we bear this. The next one. We have trials and temptations. There is trouble everywhere, and sometimes become discouraged. Now, it actually reads this way. It says, we should never be discouraged. For me, I'm sorry, I can't live in that reality. I cannot live in the reality, I should never be discouraged. I don't want to be discouraged. I mean, that's true, but the fact is that I do get discouraged. So what do I do? Sometimes when I'm discouraged, what do? I take it to the Lord in prayer. I take it, Lord. So here's my question. Is what burden did you come here with this morning? What burden did you come here this morning with that would possibly cause you just to look this way and not take it to the Lord in prayer? What worry, what anxiety, what discord, what trial, what tribulation did you come today? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Doesn't mean it's going to disappear. But it means that whatever trial, whatever situation, whatever anxiety, whatever worry, what I'm saying is I'm believing that God is with me. He's next to me. He's with me. He's traveling with you. He's not far off, but he's with you. So I'm just going to give you a moment again, just to pause, and then we're going to move into communion. And so as we pause, I'm going to ask the team to come back up. So what is it that you come today that is heavy in your heart? Maybe it's for somebody. Maybe it's the craziness of this world. So just take a moment here and just come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you speak inward to help me make sense of these worries, these trials, these tribulations, the pain, the heartache. Help me to journey with you in those so that I can live this way for your kingdom.